person into heaven. This person is not your child. This person is not redeemed. What is it that you could have that would protect you? What is it that you would have that would signify that you're redeemed? That you're bought? What is it that you have, that you possess? What is it that is marked upon you? That's what I want to look at today. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 2, this is a story that does not include this, but depicts it, tells the story of, illustrates it, gives the picture of, and it's what protected. And I want to look at today, not necessarily the spiritual weaponry that we have in the Word of God, in the helmet of salvation, those types of things. I don't want to look at the weaponry that we have. I don't want to look at the spiritual warfare that's taking place. I want to look at the protection that you have when it comes down to all things being gone. What is it that, say you're saved and you join this church and you're a member of this church and you live a good Christian life and you're witnessing for Jesus Christ and you're being a good Christian. What is it that separates you? Or what is it that someone that is saved but refuses the church, forsakes the church, and lives their own sinful life outside the church, that person is still saved. And they're just as saved as you are saved. Mm-hmm. And they'll stand before God and they'll give an account and they will not be as blessed. And you might differ with me on this one, but they will not be as blessed for eternity as you will be. That's not Bible. Yeah. Amen. Saved once saved, always saved. Amen.
Amen.
But heaven the same for everybody. Not amen. Alright, we've started to teach people that you can get into sin and you can dive into sin and come out the other side the same for eternity. But that's not Bible. Amen. Adam and Eve were in the garden, they sinned, they didn't get back in the garden, did they? They could still have a relationship with God, but it was not the same. Sin affects you, and it affects you eternally. Sin brings death. Sin separates you from God. You say, but sins will all be forgotten, and they'll be washed away, and as far as the east is from the west, and my guilt, and all these kind of things. Yes, and you receive crowns, and God will look at you, and God will judge you based on your obedience to Him. Not based on the souls you saved, not based on how many times you went to church. It will be based solely on your obedience to God. And it will count for eternity. Salvation, yes, you're saved. Once saved, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You are bought with a price. You are saved. What is it that protects you? What is it that you can stand up in the word that's used in this passage as a token? What is the token that you have? We sang 3 songs about it already this morning. I thought they were reading my mind. The blood of Jesus Christ. It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that there's some things being said today that you should take out the word blood in the New Testament, that you should take it out and just put in life. Because the blood had no real meaning, that it was just the life that Jesus gave. He died, and that paid your price, and so you're okay as long as He gave His life. Jesus Christ did not die in a car accident.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ did not have a heart attack. Jesus Christ died, He shed His blood.
Amen.
He laid His life down as the sacrifice for sin. And He shed His blood that has eternal value. And it was different from a goat's blood. And it was different from an innocent child's blood. It was different from a sinner, a vile sinner's blood. It was different blood. That's what I want to look at today, is this blood. And here in Joshua chapter 2, there's a story told, and there's a picture given. And I want to stay here. If you have a bookmark, put it here in Joshua chapter 2. We're going to go from here, but we're going to mainly read here. We're going to pick out words and illustrations that God gives us here, and we're going to reference it to other parts of the Scripture, but this will be our main text here in Joshua chapter 2. The story here is told of Joshua as they're entering into the Promised Land, the story of the city of Jericho, with its walls, its tall walls all around the city. Joshua sends in 2 spies. The 2 spies go into Rahab's house, which is on the wall. They make a covenant with Rahab that if she brings her family, if she brings her father's household, as they refer to it, into her house, they will give her something that will signify and seal and protect, is the word we're looking for, protect that house from all the others. And they give her, and they refer to it as a token of their covenant. And these are all references to the blood of Jesus Christ on a saved person's soul. And we want to look at that today, based out of Joshua chapter 2. Let's start our reading. I want to start our reading, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 9. Rahab and the two spies. In verse 9, and God's word says, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land of Jericho and the surrounding cities and the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, these two kings whom you utterly destroyed at the hand of the Lord. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house." Now get this. "And give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land..." Now notice what they tell her to do. "When we come into the land," verse 18, "thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. Whosoever shall be with thee in this house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. Now, you remember back to verse 18, it says, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of thread." He told them, "When we come back into the land, bind this line of thread." But notice what she does in verse 21. "And she said, According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window." She didn't wait. She bound the scarlet line in the window. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this church. God, your church. We thank you for your people. God, prayer, the opportunity we have, God, to catch your attention, Lord, to talk to you, to commune with you. Lord, we need you. God, we just ask that you would bless these your people, God. You know the conditions of the heart. God, you know the needs, the spiritual needs. We just ask, God, that you would provide and protect. God, we thank you for the blessings of the praises that were already lifted up to you, for the salvation brought to the home. God, we thank you for the blessings you've given to each and every one of us, enabling us to be here today. God, we ask that you would feed us, Lord. We ask that you would draw us closer to you. Give us something, God, straight from heaven today. God, we pray that you would teach us and instruct us, encourage us, God. We thank you for the protection of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the strength that we have in it. In Jesus' precious and loving and protecting name I pray. Amen. We find out in Joshua chapter 2 that these spies make a covenant with Rahab. And in this covenant, they give her a token, and she asks for a token. And they give her a token of a scarlet thread. We're not going to study through, this isn't Sunday school class, we're not going to study through from the book of Genesis through to Revelation and see that the scarlet is a symbol of a sacrifice of bloodshed. It's used over and over and over and over and over again in the first five books of the Bible, referring to it in the tabernacle, referring to scarlet. And we will look at one verse that includes it. But the blood of Jesus Christ protects the soul of the saved. Not just the life that was given by Jesus Christ on the cross, but the actual blood that He shed. What I'm saying is that there are those, and I made reference to them before, that say that Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago in Palestine, in the Middle East. He died in the nation of Israel. He died at the cross on Calvary. That's where He laid His body down on that cross, and that's where He died at that time. And there are those that say that the blood of Jesus Christ is there today, just rotting in that sand, that it was nothing more than just blood that was shed, that it was the life that He gave, the choice He made to die for your sin, that that's what saves you. That pays the price for sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, a life for a life, you see. But what good would it do you if you live forever in your sin? Well, yes, death is paid for, but I still have this sin problem. It took the precious blood of a spotless lamb, the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, to pay the price, and that blood has to be applied to you. You say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. There's a little bit of doubt. The blood's been applied, or the blood hasn't been applied. You say, but I believe. Rahab believed. She said, that's your God. You say, we're all fainting because we know what He did to the kings on the other side of Jericho, or on the other side of the Jordan River, to Sihon and Og, you know, and all the other weirdos. All right, well, you know what He did to them on the other side of the river, and our hearts faint within us. We're afraid because we know that You're a conquering nation. We know the power that God's given to you, and we know that your God isn't just another God like Sihon had a God and Og had a God. But your God protected you and gave you victory over them. Your God is God. Your God's the God that created the world. She believed that. She wasn't protected, was she? That wall that she was living on, all those apartments started falling. Hers would have fallen right with it, even though she believed God was who He was. Because it wasn't personal to her. It wasn't personal to her father. It wasn't personal to her mother. It wasn't personal to that house. And God had no place in that house. See, that was a harlot's home. Says that Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was another person living in the world in Jericho. That was Rahab's life. But she believed God was who He was. Now does that not, if nothing else, remind you of Hollywood and the television when you turn it on? I don't know what does. Yeah, they recognize there's a God. I'm a huge football fan, unfortunately for the Lions. And those guys will get up there and they will say, take the big man upstairs. I haven't heard that phrase in a while, but I know they used to say that a lot. The big man upstairs. And I think, first thing I want to do when I accept this award is thank God. Yeah, they believe that there's a God. He has no place in their home. He has no place in their life. He has no place in their life. He exists and they exist and there is no relationship between the two. He knows they exist, they know He exists. And that's as far as it goes. Rahab said, well, we know about your God. We know He's God. But we want a covenant. We want salvation. Mm-hmm. You see, and there was a token that was given, and there was a sign that was given, and it was that scarlet thread. And He said, when we come back into the land, bind it around the window. And she bound it right away. She said, get off of it so I can bind it. And then she bound it right away. Alright, if you're not saved, that needs to be bound right away because the Lord might return before I'm done preaching. Amen. You can be saved before an invitation is given. Amen. There's nothing spiritual about this altar.
Yeah.
It's wood. Alright, the decision's in your heart. You might know that God exists, but He has no personal relationship with you. And it doesn't matter if you're from Jericho or if you're from Israel. And it doesn't matter if you're a harlot like Rahab or you're her father or brother or sister. They all get saved the same way. That blood has to be applied. That scarlet thread must be bound around the heart. I want to look at the book of Hebrews real quick. As I said, if you could keep your bookmark there in the book of Joshua, we'll come back to make reference to a verse. But I want to look at the book of Hebrews, middle of the New Testament, one of the bigger books in the middle. The book of Hebrews in chapter number 9, making reference to the blood. You say, I'm saved, I've been saved for a long time, what do I care about this? What does it have to do to me? It is protecting you right now. You say, no, the Holy Spirit's doing that. No, He is not. The Holy Spirit would not take place in your on your soul if it were not washed. The Holy Spirit would not enter sin, would not feel Himself to a unredeemed soul. And when the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations that the devil is accusing you day after day after day, day and night, he's accusing you right now, trying to get you just like he did Job in Job chapter number 1, let me take his life. Let me take his family's life. Let me take everything that he has. Because that's the hatred in the murderer from the beginning. John chapter 8 verse 44. That the devil is. And it's not God existing that protects you. And it's not God being God that protects you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ applied that protects you from the devil and from all other means. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's either been applied or it's not. And if you're saved today and you've been saved for a long time, rejoice in the blood of Jesus Christ. And seek that that blood would be applied. What did Rahab say? My father.
Yes.
And my mother. And my brothers and my sisters. And to their household. What token do I have to give to them? How can I say, yes, in this world, yeah, right now I'm standing here, I'm no better than you are, but I know for a fact I'm going to heaven. How do I know that? How do I know that the sin I committed yesterday and today and tomorrow, the sin that I commit, that death doesn't take me? That there's no sin that I could ever commit? How do I know that? Because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That no matter how great the sin, that's why they say, you're telling me Adolf Hitler could be saved? You're telling me that even though he didn't commit it, O.J. Simpson could be saved? All right? You're telling me that no matter how vile a person could be, no matter how murderous a person, you're telling me that they could be saved? How powerful is the blood of Jesus Christ? Is there only a limit to it? No, there is no limit to it. And it's not rotting in the sand in Palestine. Look at Hebrews. Where is that blood? Look at Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to start our reading. This is a long chapter. We're going to start our reading in verse number 18, thinking about that blood. In verse number 18, it says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, which means the first testament was dedicated without blood, and so is the second testament. In verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, Jesus Christ did everything according to the law as well, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet, there's that word wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled, took the blood of these sacrifices and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. That was the Old Testament, the First Testament. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, because it was unpure, and all the vessels of the ministry, because they were unpure, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. You say, why almost all things? Because there's one thing in the law that doesn't need purged with blood. And that's something that is pure. Somebody that is a priest that doesn't need sprinkled with blood. And that's the Lamb of God. That's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life as a spotless lamb. He doesn't need purge. Continue our reading. We'll start again. I don't know where I stopped. Verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. A lot of people add a couple words on at the end of that. And it was therefore necessary, verse 23, now get this, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. That means that the tabernacle in the Old Testament was made after a pattern of another tabernacle, which is in heaven. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice, that means the heavenly walls of the tabernacle, the heavenly mercy seat, the heavenly dwelling place of God, doesn't need to be sprinkled with the blood of calves and of goats. Verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. That tabernacle doesn't even exist anymore. The one that Moses built, the one built in the wilderness, that tabernacle doesn't even exist anymore. So how could you possibly go to the priest and have him go into that tabernacle and kill a goat or whatever and go into the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, where the place where God dwells under the ark and the mercy seat and sprinkle the blood? How could you possibly do those things when that tabernacle doesn't even exist anymore? You need protection. You need something that gives you the ability to enter boldly under the throne of God. You need something to get up there. You need something that purifies sin. You need something that cleanses. You need something that can get you through that heavenly tabernacle to where God dwells. And then you're reading. Look at verse 24 again. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, where is the true, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For yet that he should offer himself often, he's not going to die year after year just like the goats did, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You say, what is it exactly? You say, you know that Jesus Christ came down to this earth, that he died, that he took your sins upon himself, that he died, that he gave his life, life for a life. Now you don't have to eternally die if you accept that. But what is it that cleanses the sins? Say, I'm saved, been saved for a while. How do you pray? You're a sinner. Mm-hmm. You got sin on your mind. This body's not redeemed. You're standing in sinful, stinking, rotten flesh. How in the world can you pray with this rotten tongue, this disrespectful tongue, to God in heaven? Mm-hmm. Because of the blood that was taken through that tabernacle to that mercy seat that was applied on my account, that washes my soul clean. And when this soul cries to the Father hears it. And when this soul pleads to God, God hears it. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ applied up there. Not rotting in sand. Not just another person's blood. Something divine. You say, but he was just another person. He was God, sure, but he took a body just like anything else. Did he? Was he born the way you were born? Did he live in sin? Was he made after sin? I don't think so. To the Virgin Mary, a spouse of a man named Joseph, you remember the story. The pastor ended up preaching on Luke chapter 2. No, he didn't. That holy thing that is inside you, isn't that what the angel said? That holy thing, not that body of another child, that holy thing that is inside you is the body prepared for me, Jesus Christ. Amen. The body thou hast prepared for me. Spotless blood of Jesus Christ. The spotless blood of Jesus Christ. What is it that protects me, that gives me the boldness to enter into that throne room? What is it that separates me? When you look at that wall of Jericho, and if all of us were to stand here before God as he searches the hearts and he searches the souls, and as he looks down today, what is it that separates Rahab's house from the next one? It's that scarlet thread bound in the window. You know what Moses said In the book of Exodus, what Moses said to those people when he came down and he said to them, he said, the Lord's going to come through. He's going to move through tonight, through the land of Goshen and through all the land of Egypt. And the angel of the Lord is going to take the firstborns out of every house. He's going to take their life. As a sign, I'm trying to tell Pharaoh to let you go. And if he doesn't let you go, because of the sin he's harboring in his heart, death. Isn't that interesting? Sin, death. Sin, death. And he says, any house that has the blood applied, I'll pass over you. Sing the song. I will pass over you. If I see the blood, I will pass over you. He says, but the wordage he used, go back to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, if you have your bookmark there. Most people probably do. The last phrase in verse number 12. He says, and give me a true token. He says, give me a true token. And the phrase that Moses used in the book of Exodus was, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where ye are. The blood was to Moses a token. The blood was to Rahab a token. The blood is to you a token. You don't have to go to your family today. You don't have to go to the children today. You don't have to go to people today and say, buy your turtle dove, or buy your goat, the best goat you have, bring it. And if you're poor, you can go with your next poor neighbor, and you guys can put together to bring one goat for the both houses. That's the law in the Old Testament. It says you can do these. You can do all these. You don't have to go to your family and say, let's go to the tabernacle. Let's go to the church where the sins are taken away. Let's go up. I know when we were in Micronesia, they had a big book. Maybe you've heard about it before. They had a big book at the front, and at the end of every Saturday, you would walk the aisle and write down your sins for the week in the book, and that would take away your sins, and you could go out and do whatever you wanted to again. There's no tabernacle you don't take your family to and your friends to, and you don't bring your goats. You go to God in heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is what you're redeemed by, which is what you're washed with, which is what takes your sins away. And you have the ability to know whether you're in this building, whether you're at this altar, whether you're standing in your seat, whether you're in a hospital bed, whether you're in the closet of your house, whether no matter where you're at, driving in your car, at work, no matter what's going on around you, you have the ability to say, God, forgive me. You have the ability to say, God, hear my prayer. Amen. You have the ability to say, God, you know, as you search the heart, you know the need of my heart. God, you know that I know that I'm not perfect. God, I know that I don't deserve the salvation that you've given me, but God, I have this need. And God, I want to lift these people up to you. I just want to say their name, God. God, I pray for Matt and Adriana and Aubrey, Brianna and Stephen in the Congo of Africa. God, I pray for Pastor Randy Newcomer. I pray for Miss Natalie. God, I pray for their family and their home. God, I pray for the Sunday school class this morning as Brother Gene Richardson taught the class in my place. God, that they would have showed up, that they would have gotten up and come in this morning. God, that you would have heard them. I have that boldness to go before the throne of God, the same God that this entire earth that I take up about 210 pounds of and 6'2", whatever I am. And I take up that much space of this whole earth is his footstool.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. That's a pretty big God.
Yeah.
And I have the boldness to say, God, hear my prayer. And he does.
Yeah.
Not by anything I've done, but because my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that blood's been applied up there. And now I have boldness to enter in through my high priest with the sacrifice of things better than the sacrifices around here by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a token I didn't deserve.
Amen.
And that was a token I didn't do anything to get.
Amen.
And that was a token that was given to me.
Amen.
And that was applied. You see, when they built that tabernacle out there, they took the blood of these sacrifices, and they sprinkled the people, and they, because the people didn't deserve it, and they sprinkled the building, and they sprinkled the book. They sprinkled all those things because they were earthly. You could see them with your eyes. They're not permanent. They're not going to exist forever. Sprinkle them with the sacrifice, showing God, okay, let's purge these things. All, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Those things, those walls aren't sprinkled. They're built by God. They weren't built by man's hands. They were built by God. Heaven, built by God. Yeah. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. See, there's a lot of people looking forward to something, and they're picturing it with their eyes. And they're thinking about it like a log cabin you could build, or a house you could build, or something you could... You have no idea. You can't, it's not even entered into the mind or the imagination of man, the riches that God has and the ability. Could you just imagine the glory of heaven? Just walk in there and feel the walls and walk along the gate. And not only that, but I can do that right now. Not with my body and not with my eyes. And not with my feet and hands, but with my prayers, I can go into heaven. And he sits there and listens and answers. Sometimes he says no, but he answers. Sometimes he says wait, but he answers every time his child prays to him, he answers.
Yeah.
I don't deserve it. But he gave it to me. And what token do I have? Of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sprinkled on the people, sprinkled on the walls, the blood applied. See, there could have been someone that day, there could have been someone, if you think back, there could have been someone there in the land of Goshen waiting there that said, yes, Moses, I believe you that we need to apply this blood. Yes, Moses, we killed the goat, we poured the blood into a basin or whatever, and I have the hyssop there, I could apply it to the lintel and the two doorposts. And I've got the blood sitting right back here. And I know it could save me. If it's not applied, it does no good. If it's not applied, it does no good. To those people in Egypt with the blood, to Rahab with the scarlet thread, she could have, hey, that's a pretty nice scarlet thread. She's probably using it to tie up flax or whatever on the roof, the things the spies did in up there, whatever flax is. All right, they say it's what you beat down to make linen, and that's a whole other story. But if you take, she could have done whatever she wanted with that cord. She took, right away, she bound that thing. Yeah. Said, no, and then I'm going to go get my father, and then I'm going to go get my mother, and I'm going to tell them that the blood protects. And then I'm going to go get my brothers and my sisters, and I'm going to go get my friends. Anybody that'll listen, I'm going to go get them. And she got everybody she could, and she brought them into that room with that scarlet thread outside. And every, just as God said, every single part of that wall fell. In fact, not a single stone was still laying upon another stone, except for Rahab's house. Not redeemed. Not in heaven. She wasn't in heaven. Protected. She was protected. That's what we wanted to look at this morning. I'm not done yet. Turn to 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you knew we were preaching on the blood, this verse in some way, shape, or form would have come to your mind. If you have any faith in the blood, this verse in some way, shape, or form has to do with it. That token that you have, that protection that you have. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, it's a pretty good thing that Rahab got her family and friends, didn't she? I mean, do you really want to go to heaven and be the only one there? And do you really want to get to heaven and be the only person you know there? Do you want to get to heaven and do you want to leave this world and be like, well, I was kind of counting on the prayer that I prayed to save me, not the blood of Jesus Christ? You're not going to be there. Well, do you want to leave this world and say, well, I was a member of Bible Baptist Church in Cambridge, Ohio. Surely God will accept me. I was there almost every service. I was a member of that church for years. Doesn't do anything for your sin problem. Doesn't wash away a single one of them. Hey, but man, I did all these things, or I believed this, or I even prayed one time. If you're believing in a prayer instead of Jesus Christ, that's just like believing in works other than Jesus Christ. You're believing in that prayer to save you, and a prayer doesn't save anybody. And a church doesn't save anybody. Only by Jesus Christ are you saved. By Him alone. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father." You're not redeemed by any of these things that you can see around you. You're not redeemed by blowing out candles. You're not redeemed. And people get mad when you say that. I was not raised Catholic, and I don't mean to offend anybody. If you were, I certainly don't mean there are. You can get saved if you're a Catholic. You can get to heaven if you're a Catholic. I don't want to offend somebody for being a Catholic. Or if you were raised that way, I understand that tradition just built into you. I have nothing against you, okay? But when you say blowing out candles doesn't do anything good for you, man, people get mad. I don't get it because I was never raised that way, so I don't personally understand, but people get mad. And I'm telling you, look, it is a great deed that your heart's desire is to help somebody. It is a great thing that you're sincerely from your heart wanting to pray for somebody. That is a great thing. But if I'm praying to you, or if I'm praying to you, or if I'm praying to this microphone, it doesn't do any good.
Right.
But when you pray to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, yeah, it is effectual prayer that does something. And it's nothing against being any kind of a religion, okay? But there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to get your prayers to heaven. The only way you're getting there, the only way your desires are getting there, the only way your needs are getting there, the only way your loved ones are getting there to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a prayer. Nothing but by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all things are from Him. Even our faith is from Him. And it grows by Him. And it will be fulfilled and finished by Him. Finisher of our faith. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at that. We said it's not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and as gold. Verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 says, not redeemed by silver and gold, things like that, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. The blood of a lamb without spot was what redeems you, is what bought you back. We talked about those that are, when you're born into this world, you're after the lineage of Adam. What moves you from there over into the family of Jesus Christ? Somebody came down and shed their blood. And with that blood, bought your soul. Washed your soul. Now you're redeemed. Justified by His blood. Justified by His blood. Romans chapter 8. We're bought with a price. A lot of times we say it's free. Wasn't free for Him. It certainly wasn't free for Him. Can you imagine? When we talk about the things we have to deal with in this life, look at what He has to deal with. Me, for one. And there's a bunch of us in here. There's a bunch of me's. Alright? And He has to deal with that. I wouldn't. You wouldn't. He does. We talked about it in Sunday school. Why? Because God is love. And nothing else is, just God. And he came down, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Which means that if you haven't believed, you're going to perish. A lot of times we dwell on that, for God so loved, and we forget that should not perish part. Hell is real. I think there's a verse we're going to look at tonight in the book of Jude that says that we're going to save some with compassion, others with fear. Okay, hell is real. Judgment is real. We think that because we're saved, we're above everything. And we think that because we're saved, that nothing affects us anymore. That protection of the blood is there because you need it. The Word of God is here because you need it. The fellowship of the brethren is there because you need it. Thank God for the protection He gives us by His blood. Thank God for the cleansing stream. Thank God for that fountain that flows. But if it's flowing over here, and if it's not applied right here, it does me no good. There's no prayer, there's no candle, there's no person, there's no church, there is nothing that can take a single sin away from me. Except for the blood of Jesus Christ, applied on your behalf. Applied, bound upon your window, put on the doorpost. Just because you believe it doesn't make it so for you. It makes it so for somebody that believes, and somebody that prays, and somebody that applies it. Maybe today you are saved, and it is applied, and you know for a fact it is applied. You need to be thankful to God for giving all that He gave, for that precious blood. It could have been unprecious. He was tempted in like manner as you were, but He overcame in obedience to His Father. And you need to be thankful for that blood. Maybe there's those that you know, the praise that was given for the mother that was saved. Maybe your mother is not. She needs to know about that token. Take that token to her. Maybe there's those you need to bring into your house, into this house, that God's given to you. Maybe there's those that need to be brought in here. The prayer is prayed. I know I prayed in my heart, and I'm sure there are those of you that pray in your heart at the beginning of every service, that God would bind that scarlet thread around this building, that God would keep His devil away from this place, His spirit away from this place, and the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ would be on this place, that the preaching of God's Word would be effective in the hearts of those that are in there. Maybe you're keeping that blood about as far away from your family's living room as you can. Don't ever underestimate purity, cleanliness, and the cleansing power of God's blood. Don't ever underestimate it. It needs to be applied in every part of your life. Maybe that needs to be done today. Maybe there's a room in your house. Maybe there's a room in your house. Maybe there's a room in your house that's going to crumble. It's going to be destroyed. It's not protected if the cleansing power is not applied. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to read one verse for you real quick as you stand as a piano player comes. Just give me one more moment of your attention as I read this verse. This is from Psalm chapter 94, David writing. He says, "They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." You're protected today by someone that does not have to protect you. You are loved today with a love you don't deserve, but it's given to you, and it was shed for you. Is it applied? Maybe it needs to be applied. Maybe you just need to glory in the fact and pray from the seat where you are today and just thanking God for shedding His blood, the power of His blood, and realize that the next time there's sin in your heart, it's the blood that will get you past that sin. And it's the power of that blood that can over... Maybe there's a sin in your life you think you can't get past. and because you've committed that sin, your life is done. Or you're just letting that sin linger. Listen to what I'm saying. You can't get past. Maybe you're addicted to something. Or maybe that sin just is destroying you from within. You can overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the time that blood was shed, on my account, God. The time it was applied to me. Thank you, God, that you hear my prayer. I thank you for Jesus Christ, for your Son, that he was given, God. I thank you for the perfect life that he lived, the body you prepared for him, God. I thank you this morning in particular for his precious blood. God, I pray that it would be preached right now, that it would run those off that don't want to hear it, God, and that it would strengthen those that do. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your life. In Jesus' name, amen. As the piano player plays, heads